You know, one common complaint we have as Catholics, or that are said about many Catholics, is we really don't talk about or talk to the Holy Spirit. And I think that's a legitimate complaint, that we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is kind of forgotten in the Trinity for many Catholics. And I think we can see that in which members of the Trinity we talk about the most. Now, of course, God the Father we talk about a lot. You know, we can think of our Heavenly Father. We pray the Our Father at every Mass, and I hope we pray the Our Father every day, whether you come to Mass or not. I mean, we very much have a connection with God the Father. And, of course, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, we know very well as our Savior, and we talk about Him as our Savior, and we pray to Him as our Savior, and we receive Him in the Blessed Sacrament, and so on. You know, very much we think about the second person of the Holy Trinity quite a bit. But do we think about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? This Holy Spirit who we received at our baptism. When we were baptized, that water was poured over our head, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit came down upon us and took up residence within us and continues to reside in us from that moment. And that's very clearly symbolized within the baptismal rite, where after the child is baptized, the priest takes the sacred chrism, the good-smelling holy oil, the one that has that balsam oil in it that smells so good, and pours just a little bit on the top of their head to symbolize the Holy Spirit coming down upon them. And then a few years later, for many of us, maybe high school age, junior high school age, I know now in this diocese, for quite a few years now, we've been doing it at about the age of 7, give or take, about second grade, third grade, somewhere in there. We were confirmed. And at the moment of confirmation, the bishop took some of that same oil and put it on our foreheads on the sign of a cross, sealing us with the Holy Spirit. Kind of, if you will, claiming us for the Holy Spirit. But we don't really think about what the Holy Spirit does for us and what the Holy Spirit calls us to do. Now, in the second reading that we did hear from, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us to live out our lives as Christians. But in the other option, it talks about how each of us have a part to play in the body of Christ. Each of us have a role that we are called to. As St. Paul said in that one, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. So just as our bodies have different parts that do different things, our hands are different from our feet, which is different from our tongue, which is different from our brain, our eyes, and so on. In the same way, each of us have a part to play in the body of Christ, which is the church. Each of us have a role. And the Holy Spirit works in and with us to figure out what that role is. You know, again, as St. Paul says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. We all have a different role to play because we all have different gifts and abilities that we have been given by the Holy Spirit. We all have things that we're good at. We all have things that we enjoy. We all have things that you might be able to do better than I can, and I can do better than you can, and so on. And we use those gifts within our families. We use them as our jobs. We use them as hobbies, as recreations. You know, some of you might be woodworkers and might do very, you know, fine work with wood. Others might have skill with welding. Others might have, you know, good with numbers and be able to do accounting and bookkeeping and things like that. You know, some of us are, our skills might be preaching, might be talking in public. Others might be just being able to talk one-on-one, and so on. We all have these different skills and abilities. The challenge for us, and what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do, is to find how can we use them within the church? How can we use them within the body of Christ to build up the body of Christ? And how can we use them, first of all, to bring people to Christ? Our first role as the body of Christ is to bring people to Him. to bring people to Christ. And we can use those gifts and abilities that we have given, been given by God to bring people to Christ, but also to strengthen and support those who are members of the body of Christ, to strengthen and support each other. And again, some of these are gifts and abilities that will be, by their nature, public. By their nature, you know, in the public eye, whether it's helping out with lector or something like that, teaching religious education, stuff like that. But some of them are gifts and abilities that generally kind of go behind the scenes. Those who are willing to help out with the care and upkeep of our building, for example. You know, maintenance of the building when it needs to be done. Helping to keep it clean, keep it, especially with the COVID stuff, disinfected when we had to do all that stuff. Things like that, that's where some people's gifts lie. And the challenge for us is to find those gifts and to use them to build up the church. And again, it can be as simple as the people who are handymen or doing woodworking and so on, or people who are willing to stand in public and speak. You know, finding those gifts and those abilities. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just work in us as individuals with these gifts and these abilities that we've been given, these roles that we've been given. The Holy Spirit works more fully within the church as a whole, the body of Christ as a whole. You know, the Feast of Pentecost was 50 days after the Passover, which is this Sunday. And this Feast of Pentecost that we still celebrate to this day is considered to be the birthday of the church. When the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles and gave them the power to preach and united them as the body of Christ, the church was born. They were united by the Holy Spirit coming down upon them. And of course, what did they do? They went out and preached the gospel. They went out and proclaimed the good news. They rushed out of the building and started preaching. Would that we do that, but that's something that we're not very comfortable with doing. And of course, that starts with the role of the church is to go out and proclaim the gospel to all the nations, to all peoples. And to do so through the power of the Holy Spirit in all tongues, in all languages. Now, sometimes, especially in recent decades, when people talk about speaking in tongues, they think more of the charismatic syllables, where it's not a language, it's not a spoken word, it's more sounds that are not sensical, or not a language as we understand it. And that's not what the apostles were doing. They weren't going out there and talking da-da-da-da-da-da, nonsense sounds. They were speaking a language. And that's what it means when it talks about speaking in tongues. Language is a tongue. We speak the English tongue. Some of us don't do as well. Myself, some days, some mornings, I definitely don't speak the English tongue very well. You go to France, they speak the French tongue. You go to Asia, and there's different, Thai and Chinese and Japanese and so on. There are different languages, different tongues throughout the world. And this is my opinion. The church has never really said for sure. But my opinion is when the apostles went out onto the street, they weren't speaking in all these different languages. They were speaking Aramaic, which was their language, their tongue. But by the gift of the Holy Spirit, everybody was able to hear in their language. Because it says in the gospel, or the first reading, that these are Galileans who were not, they're kind of like saying they're from Montana. They don't know any other languages. That's kind of what they're saying. They're Galileans. All they know is Aramaic. And yet we hear them all in our different languages. And that's why I say they were not speaking in Egyptian and Latin and Greek and so on. They were speaking in Aramaic. They were proclaiming the gospel of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, through a miracle, allowed everybody to hear it in their language. But the church as a whole, the body of Christ, speaks in every language. The church is able to proclaim the gospel in every language because there are people in the church from every culture and nation throughout the world. And they are able to speak in their language. And so the church is able to go out to all the world and evangelize, to proclaim the good news. And when we think of evangelization, which is, again, a gift of the Holy Spirit and is done through the Holy Spirit, we think of the stories of people, well, like the Jesuits who came here to Montana, modern-day Montana, when it was still native tribes, that they came here to evangelize the tribes. Pierre de Smet is the most well-known name, but there are many other Jesuits who came through, including St. Peter's Mission, for that purpose. We think of the missionaries who went to deepest, darkest Africa or went over to Asia, especially the Far East, and proclaimed the gospel message, some of them losing their lives for that gospel message. We think of that as missionary work. What we don't think of is missionary work here in Montana, here in our community, here in our families. Recently, there was a survey of religious activity, religious life. And in that survey, it said 43% of millennials, and millennials are generally people who were in school at some level in the year 2000. So I'm kind of at the bottom end of Gen X, and then there's millennials as the next generation. So those who are in their 20s and their 30s right now. And 43% of them don't have a faith life, are flat out atheist, or just don't care. That's almost half of a generation here in the United States that has absolutely no faith life. Do you think maybe our evangelization should start here? Yeah. We've got half of a generation that needs to be evangelized. Here, now. And that is part of our call as members of the body of Christ, as the church, is to be part through the whole work of the Holy Spirit to do that. But there's more to how the Holy Spirit works in the church than just evangelization. If you notice, the church, the apostles were given the power through the Holy Spirit to preach as Christ did, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to proclaim the teachings of Christ. And that is what the church does through the Holy Spirit. The church is guided by the Holy Spirit in proclaiming our Lord's revealed truth. Our Lord revealed the truth of the gospel to his apostles, then gave them the power through their successors, the bishops, and the priests that work with the bishops, to proclaim that truth. Well, in the church we have what is called the magisterium. And magisterium comes from magister, teacher. So this magisterium is the teaching office of the church. It is the pope and the bishops in union with him. And when the pope and the bishops in union with him declare on a matter of faith and morals, they are infallible. They cannot be in error. Now, that doesn't happen that often, because it usually only time we really worry about that is if there's some, you know, issue that fights against that. You know, the example being with the Eucharist. Is that really Jesus by blood, soul, and divinity, or does that just represent him? Well, it is clearly infallible that, yes, The Holy Spirit turns that bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. This is Jesus himself present with us. It is not a symbol of him. It doesn't represent him. It is him. That's one example of that. Now, that doesn't mean that those in the magisterium, in these teaching offices, can't have errors of judgment. And we saw that very clearly with some of the scandals that arose in the last 20 years or so, that some of those bishops and cardinals made some very serious errors of judgment, whether by actions that they did or by covering up actions that others did in the name of the church. So they can have errors of judgment. And it also doesn't mean that the church is, everything the Pope says is completely perfect, infallible. He's never going to make a mistake. That's not the case. Again, it has to be a matter of faith and morals. I know I've said before, but I am a baseball fan. I love baseball, and I'm a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals. So I would love it if tomorrow Pope Francis there in Rome would say, I guarantee you the St. Louis Cardinals will win the World Series this year. And as much as I would love to hear that, he's no more accurate. Actually, he might be more accurate than the sports pundits on ESPN. He has just as much odds of being correct on that as the sports pundits in ESPN. He might be more accurate. Who knows? He might know better. But what it does say is when they teach in matters of faith and morals, we are called to submit ourselves to those teachings. We have to basically say, the Holy Spirit has spoken through the Pope and the bishops. We must follow. We must be willing to obey these teachings. And to do so, not out of blind obedience, not just saying, well, the church, the Pope said it, so I'm going to follow it. But truly out of love for Christ and out of a desire to find the truth that he taught. And so today, especially on this Pentecost, but in our time, we need to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in our church. Because, it's, first of all, it's something we don't do. And second of all, as I've said, we need this. For us as individual members of the church, we need to pray that we may have the zeal to go out and proclaim the good news to those generations that need to hear it, that don't have a faith, that have fallen away. We need to go out and proclaim that, but also that the Holy Spirit will guide us in finding our part to play in the church, in the body of Christ. We need to pray for priests and bishops that we may lead and preach and teach the truth. We may lead the church in finding the truth, and we may preach and teach that truth and set aside any error, because there are priests and bishops and even cardinals in the church today who are teaching error and who are leading their flocks astray. We need to pray that we have the truth. And then, of course, we need to pray for the church as a whole, that we as the body of Christ may truly be the witness of Christ in the world, that we may witness to the gospel message of Christ throughout the world, to a world that needs it, that they may see us not as a source of scandal, not as the source of all kinds of sin and vice, but truly as Christ himself in the world. So the challenge for us is to call down the Holy Spirit daily and to be open to be working of the Holy Spirit so that we may be guided in following our Lord and his teachings.